The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today.
So in my head, I was like, if I do all of the right things, if I save myself for marriage, if I, you know, have the purity ring, if I vow this life, if I'm the perfect wife, then I will have the perfect marriage. And so when it all came crashing down, I felt very much like the older brother in the prodigal son that looked to his father and was like, you owe me.
Sharia Rush explores what it means to live with a courageously soft heart in the midst of hurt.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad Tammy's here with me.
I'm glad I'm here with you.
And I'm glad our guest is here. Yes. And, you know, here's the reality, Tammy. I know you know this. Life can be hard.
Very hard.
Yes. And if we're not careful, just to survive, we can do this thing that the Scripture calls hardening our hearts.
Yeah.
And today's guest says we should not harden our hearts despite the things we go through. Mm. And I'm excited for you to hear that, especially if you've gone through some tough things or you're going through a difficult season right now. This will encourage you. Sharia Rush is my guest today. She has a book called Courageously Soft. It's available wherever you get books. And she relates her own experiences in a way, again, I know it will encourage you. Sharia, great to have you on Life Today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here today.
I just want to say up at the top, she's also my guest today.
You know, that's a habit from doing interviews by myself online.
She's my guest today.
Our guest today.
Yes.
Thank you, Ari.
Yes, you're welcome. And I'm so excited that she is, that I get to be a part of this conversation, truly, because you are incredible. And Randy, you're right. There's many people that struggle with how do I protect my heart? I've just gone through something so tough, so horrific. How do I protect my heart from becoming hard? And I think, you know, I've even been there in my loss of trying to protect that and listening to what the Word says and trying to navigate through that. And where does that come from? You talk about that a lot in the book, that sometimes that hardening starts from some kind of wound. So I want to dig in, if I can, Randy, with you right now and just ask you about your life, your story, your wound. Mm-hmm. If you've always had a soft heart, or if you were told, girl, you better toughen up.
Right. I was told, girl, you better toughen up. I remember I would come home, and I was the type of kid that was always crying. If someone hurt my feelings, I was always tearing up. I was always crying. And I remember my mom sat me down, and she was just like, you've got to toughen up. You can't wear your heart on your sleeve. Your soft heart won't essentially survive in this world. And that was the moment where I knew that even though I believed God had wired me with a very specific sensitivity, it wasn't going to survive in the world. And so for me, I found myself constantly trying to fight this sensitivity that I felt was God-given, but it left me feeling a little bit weak in the world, a little bit vulnerable. And so, yeah, I definitely was the toughen-up type of mentality.
Is it possible, a man should never say this to a woman, by the way, especially your wife, by the way, but is it possible that, you know, you can be oversensitive?
I do think so. I think that there is, especially in our culture, I think right now we are dealing with a oversensitivity.
Yeah,
We're dealing with kind of this concept creep where these words that held a lot of weight are now being thrown around to be applied to everyone. And so I do think that there is a tendency to lean too deep or too far on the other end of the spectrum. But I do think when it comes to how we perceive God, how we stay in relationship with people, there is a sensitivity that we do need to protect and preserve for towards God and towards others.
Absolutely. You say this in your book, we let our pain tell us about the character of God. Mm-hmm. We let our trauma tell us about hope. When we tell ourselves the story that God isn't who he says he is and that our hearts are not safe in his hands, we'll find our reflection about him look more like our pain than in his good character. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that personally in your life even.
I think that there's a quote that says, what we think about God is the most important thing about us. And in that, we have to protect what informs our understanding of God and what informs the character of God. And it would be naive to not talk about the ways in which pain and suffering can inform our understanding of God. For me, I remember I had just landed back to Colorado. I had left my husband. He had basically said he didn't want to be married anymore. We had separated for a year, reconciled, and then it was evident that reconciliation wasn't going to be possible. And so I landed back in Colorado, and I was just angry. I was so angry with God, and I was looking at the scraps of my life, and I was just like, you didn't hold up to your end of the bargain, God.
Right.
I had spent so much of my life with this idea of God that was informed by a morphed belief of how God interacts with his children. So in my head, I was like, if I do all of the right things, if I save myself for marriage, if I, you know, have the purity ring, if I vow this life, if I'm the perfect wife, then I will have the perfect marriage. And so when it all came crashing down, I felt very much like the older brother in the prodigal son that looked to his father and was like, you owe me. Mm. Like, you said that you were, I did all of this. I worked in the field. I toiled. I was a good Christian.
Yes.
I was a good wife. Okay. And my life doesn't look like that. And so I think that was the first time I realized that who I had concluded God to be was not based on what he said about himself. It was based on my life's experiences and my pain and my suffering in that moment.
So when you talk about a hardening of the heart, I mean, were you fighting the hardening towards God or towards the other people that had hurt you or all of us?
I think that when we are hurt, it's easy to look at God, the man who, the one who didn't really hurt us, as the source of that hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that deep down we believe that our pain is a reflection of our failure. Mm-hmm. And so I can look at someone and say, they wounded me, and kind of move on and deal with that. But deep down, I'm like, God, I feel like this was on you. I feel like this was on you. And so for me, that journey was really a hardness towards God. And I didn't want to be close to him. I didn't want to hear what he had to say about forgiveness.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear what he had to say about hope. I just was like, I'm just going to get through this. I'll see you in heaven.
Yeah.
And however I end up there is how I end up there. But you and I don't want really anything to do with you. So it was really contending with that softness towards the Lord more than anything. And that's what the enemy is.
Sheree, I think that's why I love this book so much, because I think everything that you just said, there are so many people that are in those places in their life because life disappointed, expectations were not met. God didn't come through the way they thought he would. They prayed a certain prayer. They did all the things.
Right.
And so the one person we run to that is our fixer, we say, why didn't you fix this? And
right.
Now I'm mad. Now I'm out. Now I don't right. believe. Now I don't trust. I don't need anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think many of us have been in those scenarios, said those very same things. But what I love about your book is you walk us through the honesty of that, but you bring it, you don't leave us there.
Mm-hmm.
You take us on the other side. So let's look at what hope really means. Let's look at what suffering really means.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find the truth of God's word in our suffering.
Right.
Talk to me about suffering a little.
In the book, I really focus on Job. And I grew up hearing the story of Job, but I grew up hearing the very kind of Hollywood version, I like to say. So we know Job was tested, he lost everything, and then we hear like he suffered, and then he got it all back, and everything's great. And I think that that's how a lot of us relate to the story of Job or have an understanding of the story of Job. But as I started studying, I was really fascinated with the fact that Job spent 40 chapters almost asking God, why is this happening to me? I have lived a righteous life. I am suffering in a way that I honestly shouldn't be based on the life that I've lived. His friends are telling him, clearly you've sinned. Clearly you're doing something if your life is looking like this. And God does show up, but he doesn't show up with the why. And I think when we are suffering, I know for me, I was so obsessed with why am I going through this? What is the reason behind it? And God, in his gentleness and his kindness, very, very gently redirected me that I'm not going to find a way through the strength through my suffering with an answer as to why I'm suffering.
Mm-hmm.
The way through my suffering is with the understanding of who
yes.
he is.
Yes.
When we are aching for a why, which is a very human ache, it's very natural to want to know why we're going through the things we're going through.
Yeah.
The good news is that God shows up with himself.
I love that. We might not get the answer, but we get God.
Right.
Love that. What a different perspective.
Yeah, the presence. And that's the hard lesson, I think, to learn sometimes. It's interesting when we read in Job, you know, and he's asking all the why questions. And God says, you know, like, where were you when I created the heavens, right? And in human terms, that almost sounds arrogant.
Right.
And sort of insulting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you look at it from God's perspective, what God is saying is, look, Job, you're really not going to fully understand, even if I kind of explained it to you.
Right.
It wouldn't make sense to you in the moment at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the comfort of his presence,
right,
when that is sufficient, enables you to get through it. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard one for me,
yeah,
because I'm, you know, I'm a why kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
How did you move from, okay, I'm going to let the why stay in your hands, God,
mm-hmm,
and I'm going to rest in your presence and let that be enough?
Right.
Because that's a hard transition for a lot of people.
It is. It is a hard transition. Honestly, it was really a surrendering, a choice that I knew God would give me the grace to continue to make and to continue to surrender to him. And so I am a justice person, so it's like,
right,
if it's wrong, it's wrong, and yeah, I need to know why,
right,
the wrong was wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just,
right,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I was very much struggling because I'm like, I didn't get the apology I felt like I deserved. I didn't get the answers. I didn't get what I felt like I deserved. And I remember kind of going to God just with my fist in the,
yes,
air, just like, make it make sense.
Yes.
And I'm not going to continue to serve you even, mm-hmm, if you don't make this make sense. And that's just real. I know a lot of us are afraid to offer that type of honesty, but at the same time, I know there is a lot of us that go to church Sunday after Sunday with this belief about God, like, I'm keeping you at arm's length. And so for me, it was really doing the thing I felt least inclined to do, which was inch closer and closer to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And as I got to know who he was, as I was close to him, as he was like, I'm not going to necessarily tell you why, but I'm going to walk with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to love you. It was easier to surrender that need to know why.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it did take some wrestling, definitely.
That's fair.
It is fair. And so tell me what a soft heart isn't, because there's also people that say, look, I don't want to have a soft heart. It's the one thing that's protected me my whole life from people that have hurt me, abandoned,
right,
me, taken from me. And if I step into this soft heart idea, I'm going to feel like a pushover.
Right.
So how do you speak to someone and even give them permission? Like, look, you've got to fight for this,
mm-hmm,
in your life. And it doesn't mean that you're a pushover.
No.
That, like you say, I've heard in interviews, it doesn't mean you're a punk. I love,
yep,
when you say that.
That was what I was going to say.
Yes.
Having a soft heart, like, I'm soft, but I ain't no punk. That is something I tell to my kids, too. We stick up for what is right.
Yes.
It is a mixture of a soft heart and a strong back, right?
Mm.
That is the way we as believers are supposed to walk through this world. And that softness is not a softness that lends us to abuse or mistreatment. It's not a softness that doesn't have boundaries and,
okay,
allows us to be stepped all over. It's not a softness that is just nice to people for the,
yeah,
sake of being nice and allows mistreatment and thinks,
yeah,
that that's holiness. It is a softness that is sensitive,
yeah,
to the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It's sensitive to what he wants to do when we walk into rooms. It's sensitive to when he's like, oof, you probably need to forgive.
Yes.
I know you don't want to, but you probably need to forgive.
Yeah.
It's sensitive to when God just kind of pricks and says, hey, that little part of your heart,
yes,
that it's still a little hard there, I want that.
Yep.
It's that type of sensitivity that we have with the Lord that actually empowers us to walk in the world with a strong back, with a thick spine, with thick,
yes,
skin, to say, you know what, I love you, but I'm not going to allow you to mistreat me.
Absolutely.
And that's because of the sensitivity that I have to the Spirit of God.
Yes, Sheree, and I love in your book, you share so many great stories. You really, there's so many great reflections. There's one even as God was beginning to soften your heart. So it didn't happen overnight. Didn't happen overnight for you. It was a process.
Right.
I believe the one story where you walked into church and just were sitting there and someone kind of put her hand on your, you know, and it wasn't even like you say, like, I just had this moment of, I'm now soft.
Right.
But it began a journey for you. Tell me if you remember that reflection. I just, it meant a lot reading that. I was just like, ooh, I think a lot of people could see themselves in this moment.
Mm-hmm. You know, I am someone who loves big, extravagant expressions. And so sometimes I'm like, God, I need you to come and show up for me. And I want you in this big, extravagant way. Like, I want to hear your audible voice while I'm in worship, or I want to feel your presence and just streaming with tears. And in that season of my life when I was back here, God showed up in the touch, in that gentle touch. He showed up in the hug. I think that God has a way of softening us through the very people that may have hardened us. Mm. And that was kind of what started it for me, was like, yes, my heart is hardened because I've been hurt by a person, but God continued to soften my heart through people and reminding me that, like, if you harden yourself to me and to others, you're gonna miss out on this.
Yes.
You're gonna miss out on the ability to receive me through the very simple and mundane things. So that's kind of what started it for me.
The last thing I'd like to ask you, because, you know, there is a scripture that says, guard your heart.
Mm-hmm.
How do we properly guard our hearts while being soft-hearted?
Right. I am a huge proponent of boundaries. I love the verse in Psalm where it says, I've put boundary lines in pleasant places, and just this idea of kind of tending, like, treating our hearts, putting a little fence around them. Mm-hmm. I think that the difference between protecting our heart and guarding our heart and hardening our heart is that when we harden our heart, we're kind of taking our heart from the palm of God's hand and saying, I don't trust you to keep my heart anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it on my own. And that can lead to, I'm not going to forgive. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to be cynical. I'm going to use these kind of mechanisms to protect my heart. Mm-hmm. When we guard our hearts, we are able to walk in kind of the fruits of the Spirit, and we allow those things to keep our hearts soft and to keep our hearts guarded. That discernment and wisdom and peace, those are things that can guard our hearts and keep it soft at the same time.
Yeah, that is so encouraging. And, you know, just if you take anything away from today's program, just take away the truth that God's presence in your life, it is enough. It may not answer all the questions, but it will heal, and it will keep your heart soft in a proper way. And Tammy, right now, I know there are people who have questions, that question of why.
Yes.
And it's tough, man.
It's really hard. It's really hard. We've been there. Sherea, you've got that story of loss. I have a story of loss. Randy, you do too. We probably, everyone in this room and watching today, we all have something that we've lost. We all have some expectation that wasn't met. So we're going to either stay in the why our whole life, or we're going to say, God, I'm going to trust you, Jesus, that one day I'll have the answer to these things. But if I spend so much time here, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out on all the incredible things that you have planned for my life. So I don't want to miss out. We don't want you to miss out at all. And I think that's the beauty of what we get to do, Randy, when we sit with incredible authors like Sherea. We have something to pour into your life today. We want you to grow. We want you to thrive. We don't want you to feel stuck in your circumstances today. God has so much more for you. And just as he does for us in this moment, I believe that there's people in the world right now that feel stuck also in their circumstances right now, and they need hope. They need help. And as God has given us a soft heart, we get to step into that with them today. Yeah. Take a minute and watch this.
Right now, people around the world are suffering the effects of a deadly poison. And there's little they can do to avoid it.
Yeah,
The deadly poison of unsafe water takes a toll on every victim it touches. In the most tragic cases, the poison takes that which cannot be given back.
As I'm here with this little child, as precious as he is, he's probably between 2 and 3 years old, maybe 4. But you know, he may not make it past 5, 4 or 5, if he doesn't have the water that he needs. He has water, but it's contaminated. And so many more children like him all around the world, they need our help. Children like this, we want to see them grow up and have a chance in life. Let God touch your heart and let's help these precious children.
You know, it's been about 25 years now that we have been reaching around the world through the Water for Life program. And I thank God for the foundation that my parents have laid here at Life Outreach International. But it's only been possible because of viewers just like you, responding to the need like you just saw, out of compassion and love, and supporting this outreach. And Tammy, you know, you've been to these places. It breaks my heart to see a mother losing a child, or a sibling, you know, the children losing siblings, and then wondering, am I next?
I know, exactly. I can't imagine that kind of weight that you would carry, Randy. And you know, the thing that got me watching that piece too was that their children were dying, siblings were dying, even parents are dying from drinking this water, and that the doctor said, the source of your problem is the water. Mm. For me, if I knew the source of my problem today that was causing me harm or maybe bringing death to my body, I would know how to fix it. I would have a solution. I would have a way. But these people do not have any other option. So just as I watched that piece and the doctor saying the water, it's the problem. And then the next moment you see the little baby drinking the water and you want to say, why then? Why are they drinking the water? And the problem is it's their only option. So if they drink it, it brings death. But if they don't drink it, it also brings death. What kind of solution is that, Randy? There's no real solution unless God sets up appointments for His people like us to go in there and do something about it, if we have the ability. And I feel like that's what we've been given this opportunity today, to change it for these people.
We can. And I think that's the core question is, since you can do something about it, right? Mm. Will you? And let me tell you, those people over there, they do everything they can to get clean water. But it takes a rig rolling into a village and drilling deep enough to get to the uncontaminated water and then building that pump, that well, that will last for, on average, 70 years. And that's why we are able to come to you. We've got the people in place. We've got the equipment in place. It's just a matter of moving it and keeping it going. It breaks down to basically $4,800 for an average well. I mean, different places they travel, different depths they have to drill. But on average, through the program, $4,800. Some of you could just give a well like that. And I think that's the question today is, will you do what you can? Now, I know all of you can't do that, but $144 right now will basically provide water for life for about 70 years for 30 people, given the average number of people that come to these wells when they go into a village. It becomes a real focal point. A gift of $48 will provide clean water for 10 people. So will you do whatever you can, whatever God puts on your heart, to reach into places just like you just saw and say, you know what, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to do it out of love And for us, it's the love of Christ that motivates us, but a lot of people do help us. So whatever you see in the need there, be the solution.
Yeah.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus. And Tammy, this will change their lives.
Totally.
Forever.
We've seen it. We know it works. So go online, make that call today, and let's make a difference in the lives of these people right now for the rest of their lives. Let's bring them water for life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These 4 seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These 2 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You really can be God's presence in someone's life. I hope you'll join us. Call. Go online, make the best gift you can. We can share God's love and life with them when you join with us. And you know, Tammy, this has just been an encouraging program.
Yeah,
what Sheree is, just her witness, it's just beautiful.
I love you. I really do. I just met you just before we started the show, and I feel so connected to you, and I'm just grateful. I told you this. I'm grateful that you fought the fight, that you're here today, that God is doing great things in your life, and now the overflow, we get to benefit from it. God bless you, Sheree, and God bless you today, and I hope you feel the benefits of that in your life today. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
I think that you have contributed to our health.
See for yourself why laughter is often the best medicine. Tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.